Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The selection of Republican State Representative Dave Tallarico of Healy to be the next Speaker of the House is being questioned because one less than the required 21 members were present at a meeting of House Republicans Wednesday. The Alaska Energy Desk's Nat Herz reports.
Wasilla GOP Representative David Eastman says he's not ready to vote for Dave Tallarico of Healy, who Republicans announced as the next House Speaker. Republicans said at a news conference that they have 21 members of a new majority that will take power back from the largely Democratic group that controls the House right now. But there were only 20 people in the room. Eastman was missing. Without Eastman's vote for Tallarico, House Republicans only have 20, which is not enough to elect a speaker in the 40-member chamber. Eastman says he intends to vote for a Republican as speaker, but he wants to have a better feel for a candidate's priorities and agenda before agreeing to vote for them. Eastman is about to start his second two-year term in the House. In his first term, he was known for taking far-right, uncompromising positions on the state budget and social issues like abortion. His stance on Tallarico casts doubt on the strength of the 21-member majority caucus, in which opposition from a single member could undercut the group's ability to pass legislation. It's also still not guaranteed that the majority will even have 21 members. One Republican, Bart Laban of Fairbanks, has a narrow 79-vote lead over his Democratic opponent. Elections officials say they don't know how many absentee and other ballots still need to be counted in that district. One of the leaders of the new group of Republicans, Anchorage Representative Lance Pruitt, says he's still confident the GOP will have at least 21 votes for Tallarico when the time comes. Pruitt says Eastman is going to vote for a Republican, and Tallarico is the Republican that the party's members are supporting. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
The University of Alaska Board of Regents has approved an operating budget proposal for the next fiscal year. Meeting in Fairbanks yesterday, Regents unanimously voted in favor of an FY20 spending plan that includes $358 million in state funds. That's $31.5 million more than the current year's level of state support. UA President Jim Johnson provided Regents with longer-range perspective on the number.
$20 million under where we were in state general funds in 2014.
UA Regents also approved a capital budget request. The budgets are forwarded to the governor, who drafts a statewide spending plan that the legislature begins work on when the session starts in January. The University of Alaska system continues to receive an increasing number of reports of sexual offenses, ranging from sexual assault to harassment, discrimination, and other misconduct. UA Title IX officer Mary Gower told Regents that the number of reports is up 20% over last year at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, has doubled at the University of Alaska Southeast, and tripled at the University of Alaska Anchorage.
And then keeping in mind, we were already up 81% last year. So we have a very, very high volume of reports that are coming into Title IX.
Gower noted that there is a positive aspect to the continued increase in reports.
That people are increasingly more comfortable with coming forward, and they're confident when they do come forward that we will take the appropriate action to assist them and provide them resources.
Gower framed the increasing number of sex offenses reported to the university relative to what's happening throughout the state.
The extreme high level of sexual assault and even more traumatically sexual assault of children in our state. And so we do find that with those reports, I would say that there is a mixture of ones that were high school and earlier that the alleged incident occurred.
Gower says many of the incidents are reported by third parties, including friends of victims. UAF has the highest number of reports, including last year, when a total of 218 were received, noting that many occurred in past years in other places. UAF Chancellor Dan White told Regents that investigation resulted in 15 actual Title IX violation cases.
Of the 15, two were sexual discrimination, six were harassment complaints, two were assault complaints, two were exploitation complaints, and two were unwanted sexual contact complaints. So that's the distribution in the numbers.
UA is increasing Title IX staffing statewide to address the caseload. Gower pointed to the hiring of four new investigators and another four the university is in the process of bringing on. The Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly has again postponed voting on an ordinance to require unspent school funds be reserved for facility maintenance. The Assembly and School Board are negotiating how the leftover money is handled. And as KUAC's Robin reports, both bodies are worried how the state education department might weigh in.
New Assembly member Marna Sanford had been doing her homework about the issue since the ordinance was introduced in October.
As I'm getting up to speed on this, there has been a lack of trust. And I don't see how we will ever mend that. What I've been telling my husband is this school board fund balance fiasco. That's what we're calling it at my house.
To reestablish trust, the school board and the assembly met in a joint meeting Monday night. The millions of taxpayer dollars the borough gives the school district is called the local contribution. And although it's the biggest chunk of money the borough handles, it's a small piece of the school district's total budget. About 25%. A much larger piece, more than 60%, comes from the Alaska Department of Education. The balance between those two sources might get thrown off if the borough takes back unspent money from the school district, according to Andy DeGraw.
Unfortunately, the state would consider a lapse of funds affected by this ordinance as a reduction in the actual local contribution.
DeGraw is the district's new chief operating officer. And that comment last night got the attention of the assembly. DeGraw called the State Department of Education to find out how big a reduction the state might make. Assemblymember Aaron Legiski asked him about it last night.
So if the school district lapses $1, how much less state money is expected? Is it one penny? Is it 50 cents? Is it?
The number that I roughly calculated was if there were a $7 million lapse per the ordinance as it stands now, it would be roughly $1.6 million.
Reporters were unable to confirm last night how the state's contribution might be affected. The ordinance was introduced by former Mayor Carl Castle to use unspent school money on maintenance, especially three school roofs that urgently need repairs. If money's not approved soon, the 2019 construction season is lost. The school district is still working on a plan to return unspent money and has it on the agenda for its meeting November 26th. The assembly postponed the ordinance until its only meeting in December on the 13th. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The Fairbanks North Star Borough School District is reviewing the student dress code in light of complaints. The school board heard from female students and parents during a meeting Tuesday. Teacher and mom Christina Clemente told the board that the code is gender biased, specifically pointing to a policy regarding popular leggings.
If you're wearing leggings and your butt is not covered by your shirt, like if you're not wearing a tunic-length shirt, then you get dress coded.
Others who testified pointed to bans on other current fashions like ripped jeans and off-the-shoulder shirts. Clemente's daughter, North Pole Middle School student Alexis Clemente, urged the district to consider broader effects of the dress code.
What can we do to make girls feel more comfortable? Because girls our age already struggle with low self-esteem.
The issue of arbitrary enforcement of the dress code and the stress of getting called out were also raised. Superintendent Karen Gaborik told the board that principals are also seeking changes to the dress code and are currently reviewing the policy. I'm Dan Bross.